This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow the Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Coming up at 4:30, we start taking your calls here at 301-230-0980 on the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament. Thoughts on the Terps and thoughts on what we're going to discuss right now, which is the fact that college basketball has a problem. Anthony, on Sunday, yesterday, I decided I was going to ride my Peloton for a little bit, get a little zone two cardio in. Wound up being mostly zone one. I didn't pedal hard enough. I was chilling.
I don't even know the difference.
Just where your heart rate is. Okay. I was zone one's a little lower, zone two's a little higher. I was very much chilling. But thankfully, Peloton has the entertainment feature now, so I can fire up my YouTube TV. This is not an ad. It just happens to be the one that is on there. I think there's Hulu and stuff on there, too. But fired up the YouTube TV, and I can watch live TV. And I was like, sweet. I'll take in some NCAA tournament action. And I actually started with a women's game because this is the very fun part of this past weekend, right, is there's a game on at all times. And once you get to about, well, shoot, with the women's game starting at like 11:40 a.m. Eastern, like by the time you're at like 1 o'clock, there's always a game in crunch time until like the night session. It just until it starts over again at 7 o'clock. And it's like, oh, well, there's no game in crunch time because this is the first game of the night session tipping off. So yesterday, it was mid-afternoon, I start watching Oregon-Duke. Women's, which is a close game late. Oregon did a heck of a job behind Deja Kelly, who ironically enough used to play at UNC, and she's back all of a sudden on the floor at Cameron Indoor facing Duke, now as an Oregon player. And they took Duke down to the wire, but I picked up that game with 3:52, I believe it was, to go on the clock. Okay? So I watched that game, and then I immediately flip over to UConn, Florida, which has now also entered the final 4 minutes. I want to say there was like 3:48-ish to go. It was the under four media timeout. I come out of the commercial break, bang, bang. I'm going to have another close finish to the UConn, Florida men. So I watched less than 8 minutes of game time, Anthony, from the time I started pedaling to the time that I finished watching. Guess how long my Peloton ride was?
Probably rode for like 30 minutes, 40 minutes.
I rode for 47 minutes and watched less than 8 minutes of game time. That's a problem. We can't do that. That is heinous.
Oh, you were still riding as the at the conclusion.
It wasn't
of
about
games.
It, yeah. It wasn't about me and my ride. Wound up being the right amount of time. I was like, I'll just ride to the end of this game. And had those two games actually gone in some semblance of timely fashion, I would have kept riding and watched another game because I needed to get 45 minutes to an hour or so of cardio. And yesterday, that was what was on the docket for me. That's not the point. The point was, Anthony, 47 minutes of real time.
I
know because I measured it on the Peloton. It has a timing screen. I use my little Garmin watch here. That measured it. So confirmation, two sources. 47 minutes of real time, clock ticking. I watch less than 8 minutes of actual basketball between two NCAA tournament games, one men's, one women's. That is crapola. The NCAA has a real problem here. This is the premier product that it puts on. And the basketball, mostly for the first 30-whatever minutes of these games, is pretty good. It flows. Occasionally, there's a review, whatever. But some of it's bad ball. There's a lot of missed shots. Some of these games are finishing in the 50s. Fine. But some of these are really great games. You're having teams score 70, 80 points. It's really competitive. There's genuinely good defense causing some of the missed shots versus just like guys and gals missing wide open stuff. It's fine. I'm not complaining about the product in the ways that I sometimes perhaps have in the past. I think the skill level is getting better and better. The women's side has obviously continued to grow. The men's side, I think this is probably the best year they've had in a long time. You're starting to get some good American players coming through, some college or some European guys coming through the American college system again because of NIL. And so there's a lot of good stuff. And, you know, this is a very chalky tournament in general. Kevin Brown told us that it would be based off of the KenPom stuff. Part of that is because you have a lot of the best players at mid-majors that then realize they can get more money at a high major school. So the transfer rules are affecting a lot of different stuff in terms of the entertainment value. But at the core of it is a product that has a rules problem. Like, I think late game basketball, the best league doing it right now, Anthony, is actually the WNBA. And it's because they introduced something last year called the reset timeout, where you can advance the ball, but you don't get to huddle up. So you have this reset timeout where late in the game you can use it in the same way that you use another timeout in terms of like you have to have the ball. If you hit that timeout off a defensive rebound without taking a dribble, then like the rules apply to move the ball into the front court or after a made basket, you move the ball to the front court. All those types of rules apply. But you miss the, in the NBA, it's the 20-second timeout, which is actually typically at least 30 seconds, or a full timeout. And in college, they're just, you know, they got the full timeouts that are like 3 minutes long, it feels like. And you only get like one reset timeout late. And I think once you're under 2 minutes in both the W and the NBA, if you don't have any timeouts, there's kind of these use it or lose it situations. You can only carry so many timeouts into the end of a game. And instead, you have these college coaches that have four timeouts to use in the final minute. And so every single possession is a timeout. Plus, coaches can call timeouts when they score, and it's the other team's ball, as long as they call it before they inbound to set their defense, that rule sucks the high heavens. Like, it's just absurd, man, how long these games take late. It sucks all the excitement, the energy, the flow out of what is supposed to be a beautiful, fast-paced, flowing game and makes it this absolute slog, and I hate it.
Craigie, I didn't really think about, you know what you're talking about until I want to say the last game of the night. I'm watching
Oregon Arizona,
man. And when I tell you, I was already tired because, again, I had been up all day watching basketball, women's, men's, like 11:40. That's when the first game came on. Well, I had football practice, but got home around like 12 and then like was just watching sports. So I'm tired. I'm beat. And the games were just not in. I'm over there, you know, dozing off. I'm like, dang, the game still hasn't finished. So I definitely understand your frustration with that, but I think it's more so just, you know, the refs not wanting to, you know, be the blame for, you know, missing a call, and the fact that they're reviewing everything, the players on the court calling for the review, like,
We got to stop that.
It does, but, like, I think it could just be quicker. Like, we don't need the officials going to the replay monitor.
We don't need three officials to go check a timing thing when it's 6.2 versus 6.7.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
No, but like, yes, if you're under 5 seconds or you're under 1 second, and it's the difference between catch and shoot versus not, or if there's an egregious clock error, fine, fix it. But have one official and make it a fourth official. Make it the alternate official.
Exactly.
Fix it quickly. Mm-hmm. Call the main officials over instead of having to be like, okay, here's your monitor. Here's your little timey thing. And they're doing like the little wheel spin of the of the timing thing, frame by frame. Like, and then, oh, hey, I think it's 6.7. You going to come over here and hover over my shoulder and make sure that I got it? Like, what are we doing with that? That stuff has got to go. Look, I think replay in sports has gone way too far. And that's someone, and I say that as someone who is very supportive of replay in sports. I'm supportive of replay in sports to fix clear and obvious errors. But the thing about a clear and obvious error is you can fix it quickly because it's clear and it's obvious. It is self-defining as something that should happen quickly. Mm-hmm. We can't be doing a million reviews. Like, there was one in the, it was in the Duke-Oregon game where it should have been a shot clock violation. And the ball clearly didn't hit the rim. They go back and check it, and they take, like, 3 minutes to look at the ball, never change trajectory. It took them 2 minutes to get the, you know, like the overhead cam or the through the glass cam that you can typically really see the rim from.
Yep.
It took them 2 minutes to look at that review. It would have been odd if you just go to that one and be like, hey, can you give me the obvious check the rim cam? Okay, cool. Ball didn't change trajectory. Hey, guys, we should have blown that a shot clock violation. It's a shot clock violation. Like, done. Over with. Capiche. Move on. Get the clock straightened out and let's go. It is. If college basketball wants to continue to grow and for men's college basketball to maintain its place in where it currently is in sports, or to prevent further falling on its kind of place in the sports hierarchy, you got to care about the product. And I know it's worse in the NCAA tournament. They review more stuff. The stakes are higher. They want to get stuff right. But one, the officials could just, how do we get better officials to not miss so many things? Because that, you know, we talked about that with the Maryland game where they missed a million things. They missed that hook. And then the thing is, last thing, now I feel like I'm rambling, not just ranting like a sports talk radio host should. Then you have an elbow to a guy's head and we don't even look at it.
Yeah, that was crazy.
What's the point of having replay to fix clear and obvious stuff if you're double checking half a second late in a game that doesn't really matter because the guy's just going to move faster or whatever versus dude gets clocked in the head by an elbow and we're not even taking a gander? We got a broken system. Time to fix the system. Wild, man. So that definitely impeded on my enjoyment. I watched a ton of hoops this weekend. I enjoyed a lot of it. I don't want to make it sound like I reluctantly watched all this college basketball and I hated every second of it. And my anti-college basketball rant that I've done and somewhat in jest the last couple of years. I enjoyed it and it was fun. And you kept telling me this tournament's going to be good. And yeah, man, like watching Duke go, I know it's not a ton of enjoyment for a lot of people watching Duke, but like if you like basketball, oh my God, that team is good. You know, watching Florida, watching some of these top teams, like watching the physicality of the Arkansas St. John's game, like there was a ton to enjoy from the weekend. But then it gets to the end and these games are just getting borderline unwatchable. So I'm curious, 301-230-0980, how did the lengthy endings of games affect your viewing? And really, like, how enjoyable was this weekend of hoops for you? 301-230-0980. That can, of course, include thoughts on the Terps. We're taking your calls next.